Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga real point of cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Wednesday, September 12th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. As always, I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, and I'm in for another, could be exciting, could not be. Listen, we ain't gonna get into all that just yet. Not really sure how many topics I'm gonna touch on tonight. I'm kinda annoyed at a lot of shit. A lot of shit's personal and some other shit that's out there on the, social network and on the certain other forms of communications for people without girlfriends, and I read some of that, and my name became a hot topic, and I'm not really too happy about it, but I'm not going to touch too deeply on specific names or anything like that. That's for sure. I may touch on the whole topic of things later on. One thing I'm definitely going to, if I do nothing else tonight, I am going to do my football thing, because fuck that. This is football season. I've been hyped up for this shit for fucking months. My Niners came out balling. And, hopefully any minute I should have my boy Nick Two Scoops Russell from the Sports Den should be calling in doing the football with me like he did last week. And he'll be doing the show later tonight. But, I'll be stopping in for a minute, do the football picks, and do that type of thing. But before that, let me just touch on real quick. I may get into the Raw thing, too, but I guess just in case I don't, let me give everybody my opinion on the Jerry Lawler thing. Now, all right, I'm going to start and end this with, I hope he recovers well. I hope everything goes well for him. And I wish him nothing but the best. Okay. Now I'm going to go into the fact that I said months and months and months and months ago the more they involved him in the ring, the more I didn't give a fuck about seeing him in the ring. I was never a Jerry Lawler fan, but again, a 60-something-year-old man in a ring is obviously risking his health and not up to the standards of what you're watching, okay? You put Jerry Lawler in the ring with CM Punk last week, and this is only bringing recent because, come on, man. And they go to a ball out in a cage match, and motherfuckers is like bugging out, like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And like, no, I have a feeling it was, man. And exactly, to me, it was. I didn't see it when I was good. It just, run his head into over here, Irish whip into there, just basic spots, and for no reason to include Jerry Lawler. For what? For what, man? It doesn't make any sense. He's how old? He's 62, 63 years old? That shit don't make no sense, man. It was like a couple years ago now that he was working. It was like, I want to say Jersey All-Pro or PWS, one of those Rawway shows over there. I wasn't at it, but they put Nick Gage and fucking Jerry Lawler on the card. Like, come on, man. At that point, he had to be no younger than 58 years old. Because, again, I'm not really sure of the date or something like that. And I know, Nick Gage was professional about it and, wasn't just, full balls out Nick Gage at a dude. But in the same token, what was the reason for that? So I don't see any reason at all for him to be in the ring at 63, 64 years old, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, all right, yeah, now he's keeping pace with Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk, right? Dude fucks around and has a heart attack. Now, again, I feel bad for him, and I wish the best for him, but obviously we're pushing the limit. And I don't think the dude should have been in the ring before this happened, and I don't think he should have been in the ring now that it did happen. So I wish him the best. I hope him a speedy recovery, but I hope this is a lesson to some of the people out there 60-plus years old that need to get in the ring with these 20, 30-year-old dudes that are at the peak of their careers, that it ain't your time, man. Why can't you manage like back in the day? Guys used to fall into management. Now you're a legend. Now you can go manage somebody. You want to be involved. You want to be hands-on. Go, grab somebody's leg when they hit the ropes. Distract the dude for your heel. Do something other than bing, bing, bing. You're on one side of the ring, and there's a guy that's like 32 years old at the other side of the ring sprinting at you. Come on, man. This shit isn't right. Like I said, I can't say it enough. I'm not wishing, any harm on the dude, but you kind of ask for that shit when you jump in the ring with young cats that are all bowed up and ready to sprint and ready to do shit and make a career for themselves, and you're in there just trying to keep pace with that dude at 60-something years old, man. That is not fucking right. So, again, wish you a speedy recovery, but what do you expect, man? All right.
Yo, what's up, man?
Chilling. So I got Nick on the line. What's going on, dude?
All right, not much. I'm over here getting set up. Hold on. Give me one second. Let me turn off these headphones real quick.
All right.
All right, there we go. So, like, last week when we did week one, I complete rookie error. Like, normally this soundboard's supposed to be hooked up to the Skype, and for some reason it wasn't. So then I didn't realize till almost 3 hours into our show, because Chef wasn't on when one of our buddies called in after the Giants Cowboys game, and then I realized I'd made the rookie error. So I assumed that I fixed it, but apparently I didn't. So, but now it's all ready to go. We're all set up. So I'm ready to rock.
All right. Cool. Yeah, like I told you on the Facebook, I lost the paper that had everybody's picks on it from last week, but I do have them, between online and through last week's show. So I'm going to go back and listen, jot it down so we can still stay on track with everything. So no big deal. But, man, pretty exciting week one as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, being a Niner fan such as myself, man, I couldn't have been happier with my dudes. And, man, they showed up.
They really went out there and put a lick into Green Bay. And, the Green Bay has Chicago, on Thursday. We'll get into that in a little bit. But,
sure.
Jay Cutler, like out here in Chicago, Jay Cutler obviously has his own show on ESPN 1000 out here in Chicago. And he and Brandon Marshall have pretty much called out Green Bay secondary, pretty much saying, here we are, we're going to come up, we're going to hit you in the face, and that's kind of what San Francisco did last week. Now, towards the end, Green Bay made it a game, but, you know, at the same time, though, San Francisco, for the most part, pretty much dominated the entire game, you know. And here's another thing, too, you know, I mean, big kudos to Frank Gore. You know, there's a lot of people thinking that, you know, especially in fantasy, I've seen him slip into, like, late second rounds. You know, people are picking up Kendall Hunter, thinking that he's, you know, like this, you know, the big sleeper pick. And I know for a fact that, you know, Jim Harbaugh had big praises about him in the preseason. But Frank Gore came out and had himself a big game as well. So, you know, and here's another thing, too, you know, and again, you know, out here in Chicago, they had Wayne Larrabee, who's the radio broadcaster from for the Green Bay Packers for 620 up in Green Bay, and he was even saying that he believes that the San Francisco 49ers arguably may have the best defense. He said that the Niners' defense now might actually be better than the Steelers' defense that Green Bay beat in the Super Bowl a couple years back. That's high praise, because that Steelers' defense is absolutely amazing. And the 49ers, for the most part, held their own. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, the refs, you know, and kudo, you know, let me say this about the refs, too. Unless you were really under a microscope trying to pick these dudes apart, for the most part, yes, they made some errors in some other games, but for the most part, they weren't too bad. You know, they weren't as close as they were week one in the preseason, but obviously they've got 5 weeks to come out and fix everything. And, yes, they missed some calls in certain games. Obviously, Seattle got an extra timeout. Detroit got an extra timeout as well. I didn't need that one against the Rams where, you know, where I guess one of the players for Detroit went out of bounds, and instead of rolling the clock stopped because if the clock's going, Detroit more or less is going to take that time out, and they would have had no time at the end. So, you know, and it's a small mistake. If you're really microscoping it, you would have known it. But I think the refs were okay this week. They weren't too bad, but you know, San Francisco going on the road to Green Bay, beating them like they did, puts the Niners on serious notice.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can't, I mean, I understand that the West sucks and the 49ers are obviously the best team coming out, but they beat arguably what many people think are the best team in the NFC in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And Green Bay have a great shot of going 0-2, so they're going to have to fix something here, especially this game against Chicago. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, just to harp on my game for a minute, and then we'll get to your game, but another thing, I mean, there was a lot of doubts going into the San Francisco game. Obviously, you know, we put up a big year last year, but it was the first year Alex Smith actually showed himself and was put into a position he could do something right.
Right.
And he was 20 for 26 this game, and he was throwing strikes. Like, I watched the whole game, and, man, he wasn't lofting them in there. He was throwing zip passes on the money. That's not the Alex I know.
Touchdown pass that he hit the Moss was a straight strike. He won the dude in 10 yards from Randy Moss in that end zone.
Oh, yeah. He was throwing with confidence. And, man, you pick up any of the past couple of years' games of Madden, and you throw a pass with Alex Smith, and you're off by 5 yards. You better try to dive for it or something. But, I mean, he's not known to be right on the money, and he threw with definite confidence. Of course, you know, Moss being the only renegade wide receiver that hasn't gotten cut from a team to start the game off scoring in the end zone with Moss is definitely another statement.
Good point. That's a great point. And thumbs down to Bill Simmons, who was on PTI, who before the season, the Friday before the season started, said that San Francisco's biggest mistake was signing Randy Moss because he thought that Randy Moss was going to bring nothing to the table. And the first target Randy Moss sees, he's 10 yards wide open. How can you say that Randy Moss has torched Green Bay his entire career with both Minnesota and New England? That's what I'm saying. Dude, some ESPN guys are complete idiots. Thumbs down for bringing Bill Simmons on PTI. You just go down.
Yeah. And another thing, like you were saying with Frank Gore, I think people kind of misconstrue what was being done with that backfield. Now, Frank Gore, you know, he's still a beast, but they brought, you know, Kendall Hunter where he was at, and they brought in Jacobs to alleviate some of the pressure on Gore while still allowing Gore to just bust out.
Right.
So he doesn't have to be your every down back, but he's still the primary back. And,
right.
I mean, what you could do with that out of the option, out of, I mean, so many formations, I mean, they've really got a tricky offense. So I think that spoke volumes. And then you got, of course, that 63-yard field goal to just remind the Eagles what bad decisions they make. And
whoop at them, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everything clicked for San Francisco in that game. Uh-huh. And you know, not to get off too far off subject, but even in the AFC, the New England Patriots on Sunday just showed why that they just might just go back to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
when,
yeah.
The years that they were winning Super Bowls, remember, they had the running game of Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney. Not so much the first Super Bowl they won. I thought that, you know, Tom Brady put out an incredible drive, and the New England Patriots went on to, you know, beat the St. Louis Rams. That's one thing. But the other
right.
two Super Bowls that they won was Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney, so that Tom Brady is not coming out. You know, remember last year he threw 400 yards and had what was like 3-4 touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Last week, yeah, you expect him to have a big game against Tennessee, but Stephen Ridley comes out and runs for 125 yards and a touchdown, which alleviated some of the pressure off of Tom Brady that he doesn't have to throw the ball 45 times for the Patriots to win. And if Stephen Ridley, right, if he continues to be consistent as the season goes on, the AFC is going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm just going to say that right now, because it's going to be the Patriots of old.
Oh, yeah. You know, Tom Brady's one of those guys that doesn't necessarily need the pressure taken off of him, but if it is, that only makes him more dangerous.
Right. That's what I was saying. You know, but I mean, but back to the 49ers game, dude. I mean, I don't think I can give this team enough praise on coming in, you know, because I obviously picked Green Bay. You know, it's a West Coast team coming to the Midwest. You know, you throw all that in there, plus it's Green Bay. But Green Bay, you know, once again, secondary issues, defensive issues, you know, and Alex Smith came out and had himself a fine game. And now San Francisco, they get Detroit, and word on the street is Calvin Johnson sat out of practice with a foot injury. So now all the Madden curse, you know, talk is going to now start up. But, you know, regardless if he was going to play or not, you know, San Francisco's defense at home is going to give Detroit just all kinds of fits. So, you know,
yeah,
San Francisco
defense.
Right, if they prove they can go to Green Bay and beat Green Bay on the road, the NFC needs to be put on notice that this team is might actually be more dangerous now than they actually were last year.
Absolutely, and for a team like Green Bay who was expected to, like, I mean, you got several of these, you know, experts to put them right in the Super Bowl off of last year's performance already. They got them, you know, that's their Super Bowl pick is Green Bay versus whether it's New England or the Texans or, you know, not only did we beat them, we went to Green Bay, and Green Bay never led the game.
Exactly. Because think about it. If you would have won that game in San Francisco, then all the naysayers would have been like, well, it was Green Bay on the road and blah, blah, blah. And they would have came with every excuse in the book. You have no excuse to throw out now because the Niners went on the road and slapped Green Bay in the face. And as you mentioned, never led that football game not one time. So,
absolutely.
So let's say if the Niners meet up with the Packers again in Green Bay in the playoffs, San Francisco ain't going to be scared. They'll be like, hey, we just beat this team a few months ago. Let's do come with the same exact game plan. And, oh, by the way, Randy Moss, just do your magic like you always do against Green Bay. That's going to end up happening.
Yeah, the only negative comment I could give on my team's performance is maybe we shouldn't sign up for the dunk contest. But other than that, you know,
right,
maybe
right.
we
at this moment,
maybe right. Vernon shouldn't be in the dunk contest, but he could score a touchdown. That's fine.
And in football, all that matters. That's all that matters. If you got two extra points for doing the dunk over the crossbar, then yeah, we would have an issue. But hey, you got his embarrassing. But hey, his embarrassing moment was 6 points for the Niners, and I'm pretty sure they'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you fail other sports after, you know, doing right in the one you're getting paid for it and whatever, do you? But
right.
So let's switch over to your game right quick, because, you know, I didn't expect you guys to come out like that. And, you know, I mean, they didn't put on a blackout performance, but they sure kept Cam Newton out of the end zone for too many times.
And if you remember last week, my main concern with Tampa Bay was the run defense. I felt that if the run defense was not going to be there, it was going to be a super long game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers allowed. Now, granted, Jonathan Stewart didn't play, you know, because the style of offense that Carolina ran, they tried to run the, you know, college option-like offense. D'Angelo Williams
right.
is not that kind of running back. D'Angelo Williams is the put a fullback in front of me, let me run behind him to get my yards kind of running back. Jonathan Stewart is that kind of guy. Obviously, coming out from Oregon, they run that kind of offense, so he knows what to expect. So Carolina
right.
never changed their game plan, especially knowing that Jonathan Stewart, because people knew Stewart wasn't going to play on Saturday. So they never really changed the game plan. So the Buccaneers, Gerald McCoy was in the backfield at will. D'Angelo Williams only had negative 1 yards. I think as a team, they only rushed like 5 yards the entire game. And that put the biggest smile on my face, because for years, the Buccaneers defense, run defense-wise, has been so terrible. But Lavonte,
right.
the kid they drafted out of Nebraska in the second round, brings so much speed to their linebacking core. Rondae Barber had a pick. Ahmad Black, who they drafted last year, safety, who was in and out with Rondae Barber, he had a pick. The only concern defensively I have with the Buccaneers was some of the guys were super wide open. In the touchdown pass to Brandon LaFell, there wasn't a guy 20 yards of Brandon LaFell. He was wide open. I think Lavonte David may have got deked on the play action. That's why he was so wide open. And it was a couple times where Steve Smith was wide open as well that could have caused concern. But the backfield, you know, I thought that the defensive line did well against Cam Newton, especially on those QB keepers where he likes to run off. They kept him in the backfield. Adrian Claiborne had a sack. Gerald McCoy got a couple. I think he had one sack. Michael Bennett, I think, may have gotten credit for one sack as well. So the Buccaneers defensively did well. Offensively, I think the Bucs started hot and then they cooled off. As much as I like Doug Martin, I would like to see LeGarrette Blount. Now he's having an MRI today. At the press conference, Greg Schiano, they asked about LeGarrette Blount and what was wrong with him, because he came out in the second quarter, never came back in. DJ Ware, you know, the former Giant, took his snaps. And they were trying to figure out what exactly was wrong with LeGarrette Blount. And Greg Schiano said that LeGarrette Blount was fine enough to come back into the game. So I don't know if Schiano was upset with him because he wasn't hitting the holes like he wanted him to. But today I read that they're having an MRI on him. So if he's okay to play against the Giants this week, I would like to see him take those red zone carries instead of Doug Martin. At one point in the second quarter, they were in the red zone inside the five after a turnover. The Buccaneers ended up getting a field goal because they're trying to run it with Doug Martin. I'm cool with that, but you got a 6'5 beast in LeGarrette Blount, and these Carolina Panthers aren't going to be able to stop him. So
yeah.
I thought they could have used him more there. Josh Freeman had an okay game. He had a manageable game. I think this week he'll be able to snap off some more because the Giants' secondary is terrible. And another thing I took out of that press conference from Schiano was when they asked about the offense, about how hot it was and it tailed off, he said that the players actually weren't happy with the offensive players were not happy with the way that the offense fizzled out. So you can tell right there when he said that the change that Schiano has brought into Tampa Bay, because last year, you know, this team would have got blown out left and right, and then no one would have had an answer. God knows what would have happened. But this year, the players are kind of taking accountability of what's been going on. So simple fact is I like Schiano coming out, you know, talking the way he did. The Bucs got a big win, but they're going to have to step the game up because they're on the road against the Giants this upcoming week.
Yeah, they definitely have a test. I don't know. I mean, the other thing, too, I got to say about Carolina is, I don't know, man, all that stuff Alex Smith was talking last year, and I never was sure why he felt it needed to talk about it. But Newton put out 300 yards and still really end zone numbers didn't speak for that. So maybe this is a problem. If he doesn't have the rushing to pound the last couple yards in, this might be an early plaguing problem for him.
Right. And you know what? I thought what Alex Smith said actually had some merit to it. You know,
right. There
was a lot of times, when Carolina, obviously if you're a 6-10 team and you're losing all the time, obviously you're not going to run, And I thought, in my personal opinion, as much as I think Cam Newton is a really good quarterback, he's going to go through the sophomore woes like everybody else goes through sophomore woes. Most players go through those sophomore. Now, some of them don't. Adrian Peterson didn't. Arian Foster more or less didn't. But some of these guys are going to go through those woes. And Cam Newton is probably going to be that guy because, think about it, outside of Steve Smith, he really doesn't have any wide receivers. So if the run game is not on point and the game is in Cam Newton's hands, this is going to be the year to see if Cam Newton can really be that game-changing quarterback, that he sort of kind of was last year.
Right. So,
in the end, I think Alex Smith had some point that they were losing so much that Cam had to throw. And, of course, he's going to post up 300, 400-yard games if you're throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game.
Right.
I'm saying? So, I thought that he really did hold some merit to what he said. And last week was a good point. They couldn't run the ball, so they had to pass the ball, and he ended up getting 300 yards, but he was picked off like three times. So you're right. Alex Smith, what he said may actually hold merit this year, and maybe people won't think he's so much a fool for what kind of came out of his mouth from last year.
I figured we'll jump into this week's picks and stuff, and then, as we go, I'm sure we'll touch on some of the stuff that happened with those teams in week one.
Right.
All right. So game one, we got Chicago at Green Bay on Thursday night. Green Bay is favored by 6.5 points.
Right.
I don't think you're going to keep Aaron Rodgers down for too long, especially, second game at home. I think he's going to bounce back and put up a big game. Something's got to be proven to at least be credible out of the Green Bay Packers after going, 15-0 last year or whatever. I don't think they're going to start out this year 0-2. As tough as Chicago is, I think he's going to step up and throw a lot more and probably get a lot more off because, again, our defense is not to be played with. And I don't know if Chicago could hold up to him as much as we did. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Right, and that's a good point. San Francisco's secondary is definitely much better than the Bears' secondary. However, I'm actually going to go with Chicago to win this game. And the reason why I say that is because I just don't buy Green Bay's defense. Now, I know the Bears played the Colts last week, and the Colts' defense is absolutely horrid.
Right.
But this is a brand new Bears team that's coming in with so much confidence because they know that if San Francisco in the Bears' mind, probably think that offensively they're better than the Niners. So if the Niners could come in and drop 32 points on the Green Bay Packers, we should be able to come in and drop 40. And I think that they can do that. Matt Forte had a big game last week. Brandon Marshall had a big game. Alshon Jeffrey had a big game. Jay Cutler put over 300 yards. I mean, this Bears team offensively isn't a offensively Bears team. You really don't say that in the same sentence. You don't say offense and Bears in the same sentence.
I know. We were saying that last week, yep.
Right. So in my opinion, I think the biggest matchup right now it's going to be Green Bay's offense against the Bears defense. And Greg Jennings right now is saying he's 50-50 in if he's going to play in this game or not. So you got to keep your eye out on him. Cedric Benson struggled to run the ball last week. So it's another situation where a team can stop the run defense and make Aaron Rodgers predictable, knowing that he's going to throw. then and I think the Bears are more than capable of doing that, I'm going to take the Bears, and I think that Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall and even Alshon Jeffrey, because even though Brandon Marshall's 6'5", 235, I think Alshon Jeffrey's like 6'3", 2-something himself. And Green Bay doesn't have corners that can hang out, that can hang with him. So I would take
right.
the Bears. If you're going straight up, I'm going to take the Bears. If you're a betting man, you got to take the 6.5. I think it's a shootout.
Okay. So either way, you're going Bears.
I'm going Bears either way, yep.
All right. Next game up, we got New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. New Orleans is favored by 2.5. What you got?
I'm going to take the Saints on the road. Now, last week, the Saints, obviously, they struggled against Washington, against RG3. And let's not forget about this. You know, when we did the show, I picked the Saints. When we did the sports, then I picked the Saints. But then I was sitting and I was really kind of breaking this down. And when I put my picks up on the Sports Den page, I actually changed it and went Redskins. And the reason why I did that was because everyone was putting all this false hope that the Saints were going to come together like they did Katrina, you know, because Isaac went through. And the mayor of New Orleans was saying that Isaac was worse than Katrina. And then remember, the Saints had won that bounty program against Roger Goodell, so Vilma was going to be able to play. And they thought that all this stuff was going to go around for the New Orleans Saints. The problem was no one. Everyone forgets that the Saints defense without Greg Williams takes like 2 steps back. You know what I'm saying? It's not that good of a defense. Robert Griffin III on his first drive, I think it was the first or second drive, throws the ball to Pierre Garçon, and Garçon blows the entire New Orleans Saints defense for a touchdown. And RG3 had a big... Now, Carolina does not have the same wide receiver speed and depth as the Washington Redskins do. So I don't think that Carolina is really going to come out and put up the same... going to put up like Cam Newton's going to put the same numbers as RG3 did. So, and I think this has to be a bounce back game for New Orleans or for Drew Brees, because Brees did not have a good game last week. So I'm going to take the Saints minus the 2.5.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And basically, I just think RG3 is one of the main reasons why the Saints didn't win that game last week. And definitely,
right.
I mean, not
and
to
also,
skip ahead to that game, but man,
right.
that guy's the truth.
Don't forget that Alfred Morris, you know, I mean, all the talk about Roy Helu, you know, is all about Roy Helu. Here comes this kid, Alfred Morris, comes in and racks up, I think he had over 100 yards, easily 95 to 100 yards, and a touchdown last week against the Saints, too. So, you know, they had something to do with that as well. But, you know, just like you said, you don't see Green Bay really going 0-2. I can't really see the Saints going 0-2. So I'll take the Saints.
All right. Then we got Arizona at New England, and New England's favored by 13.5 points. I think New England has the firepower. Arizona went out there and, you know, they kind of put out a surprise, but in the same token, I don't think it's going to be against New England. I'm probably going to see big points out of Tom Brady, I would think. So I'm going to go with New England in a blowout here. And again, blowouts are rough because you really never know. But I'll go with New England.
Yeah, I'm going with the Patriots minus the 13.5, too. Yeah, Arizona played a good game against a good defense in Seattle last week. But now you have to go on the road halfway across the country to take on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, who dropped 31 points on Tennessee, who has a pretty good defense themselves. And
34.
The front game complemented the passing game. So it wasn't just all Tom Brady. It was some – you got a sprinkle of Tom Brady and a sprinkle of Stephen Ridley. So – and Arizona defensively does not have the firepower to hang with New England on that. So I'm with you. I'm taking New England. They'll blow out Arizona.
Yeah, I think so too. It only helps us more in my division, so why not?
Right.
But, yeah, New England's – I mean, they've pretty much stayed consistent. As long as Brady's there, he's going to be one of those things that
you're going to have a hard time with.
Right. Oh, I agree 100%.
Oakland at Miami, and Oakland's favored by 2.5 points. Neither one of these teams look really good, but who do you got?
You're right. Neither one of these teams did look good last week. I think I'm going to take – see, I like Miami defensively, but I don't like Oakland. I'm gonna take the Dolphins. I'm going to take the Dolphins at home. I'll take them plus the 2.5.
Okay.
You know, Oakland has just the same old woes. They're not really – you spend all this time bringing in Carson Palmer, and you're still having the same offensive woes as you did last year. And that's with a healthy run DMC in. You would think against San Diego, who's deep with a coach like North Turner that's really never had a really good defensive team behind him, that Oakland would have came out firing at home last week. And they did anything but – plus, the long snapper had a long day last week as well. Miami offensively is not really that good, but the Raiders are just the Oakland Raiders. So I think Miami can come out. You got to win in this one. I'll take the Dolphins.
All right, I'm going to take Oakland. I don't have a lot of reason behind it because, like I said, you're pretty much splitting hairs between these two horrible teams. So to me, I don't know. I'm just going to go with Oakland, but I don't have a whole lot of reasoning behind it.
Fair enough.
Just kind of like just flip a coin. I'd go with them. I like the running back better than anyone on Miami, so I'll go with that. Minnesota at Indianapolis. Minnesota's favored by 1.5. I personally think that Andrew Luck's going to need some adjusting to actually get to be part of that team. I think he's going to be, you know, a good quarterback for their future and everything, but I don't think it's going to come as quick as RG3 is coming on as being that guy right away. Think that offense was really so structured around Peyton Manning and then had the year off and just tanked, that this is going to take a little bit of building around that quarterback to actually make him something and, you know, to make it his team, because they've left themselves with no option but to make it his team. And I think they can do it, but it's going to take a little more time than week one, week two. Minnesota, again, Adrian Peterson, when he's on. And that changes the entire game. So I'm going to go with Minnesota.
I am going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. Minnesota may be 1-0, but I was not impressed with them last week. If Jacksonville actually played 26 seconds of defense, they'd be 0-1 because Blaine Gabbert actually looked really good last week against Minnesota. Let's not forget, once upon a moon ago when Peyton Manning was on this team, he's pretty much going through the same exact woes that Andrew Luck kind of went through last week. Because as great as a quarterback as Peyton Manning is, people forget that even though he threw for 4,000 yards in his rookie season, he still threw like a gang of picks. Andrew Luck's going to throw a gang of picks until, like you said, until Andrew Luck gets that adjustment period to where he and his receivers can really be on the same page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you know, Marvin Harrison was a carryover to the Colts when Peyton Manning was there, and then they became, you know, the one of the best 1-2 combos, you know, quarterback to wide receiver in NFL history. Andrew Luck's going to go through the same woes kind of with Reggie Wayne, because Reggie Wayne spent so many years throwing balls, you know, getting balls thrown to him by Peyton Manning. They're going to have to make the Andrew Luck adjustment. So Andrew Luck's going to go get hit in the head. That's why you see so much hype around RG3. It's because a lot of people think that Washington's receivers are better than the Colts receivers. And they're right about that. Nonetheless, in this game, though, if the Indianapolis Colts can stop the Minnesota Vikings from hitting Andrew Luck will have a field day against that secondary at Minnesota. It's still bad. And it's just still bad. There's nothing else more I can really say about it. It's just still a bad secondary. So Minnesota's getting 1.5. I'm going to take the Colts in this game.
Okay. Understandable. You got Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 9.5 points. Who do you got in that one?
I'm taking the I'm gonna take the Bengals, and you know what? I'm gonna take the Bengals to win. But I don't know if I want them to take the 9.5. And the reason why I say that is because Cleveland defensively played so well against Philadelphia last week. I don't know if it's so much that Michael Vick just continues to prove to be the most overrated piece of crap quarterback in the entire NFL. This is what I don't get about Andy, because Andy Reid's the one that's calling these plays. LeSean McCoy last year ran for 17 touchdowns. Michael Vick in his game against the Cleveland Browns of all teams threw 56 passes last week. Are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me that Michael Vick's actually more valuable than Cincinnati? And in all seriousness, if Brandon Weeden didn't throw so many picks, the Browns would have beaten Philadelphia.
Vick threw four picks.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Defensively, I really like Cleveland. However, Cincinnati being at home, they got rocked this past Monday against Baltimore. I expect Andy Dalton and A.J. Green and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to kind of, you know, put that game behind them forget about it, and let's hit the restart button, you know, and let's beat Cincinnati. So you know what? I'll just go ahead. I'm gonna say Cincinnati wins the game, and I'll take the 9.5. I think that Cincinnati's gonna come out firepower. So I'll take the 9.5 in Cincinnati.
Okay, so you're taking Cincinnati. I don't know. I don't know. This is like probably the one game that I left blank that I was just like, man, I'm just gonna have to go with it on the fly. And because again, I mean, Cleveland put up that defensive game against Philly, but really weren't that convincing offensively. Cincinnati looked helpless with Baltimore's D coming through the line. I mean,
right.
Dalton just looked lost. So this may very well be a shootout. So calling it a shootout as I am, I think I got to go with Cleveland saying it's just close.
Right. Fair enough.
So, then we got pretty much the other side of that same thing. We got Baltimore at Philadelphia, but they're giving, I believe they're giving Philly 2.5 points.
Philadelphia 2.5. Yep.
And
I think
don't know why.
It's at home. I think that's the only reason why.
But the guy threw four picks in a win.
Because let's be real, if they're really giving Philadelphia 2.5 points, and you're a betting man, I'd be running to the bookies right now and saying, let me put $100 on Baltimore plus 2.5. The Baltimore rate, Joe Flacco has caught so much flack over the years, you know, no pun intended, that on Monday night against an improved Cincinnati defense, him and Torrey Smith are going to be a hookup that Joe Flacco, by technicality, since he's ever been into the league, has never really had. He's never really had that speed guy where Flacco can, because Flacco's got a big arm and he can get it down there. And those guys looked on point against Cincinnati. Philadelphia defensively against Cleveland, they for the most part, they looked good, but I don't think they're going to hold up against Philadelphia. I think it's just too much speed. So I gotta take Baltimore plus 2.5 in this one. I can't take Philly. And I still think it's the most overrated piece of crap quarterback in football.
Yeah, definitely. I think if Cincinnati was able to hold them down like that, I mean, how many picks is Vic going to throw in this game? Because, man.
Right. If you threw four picks against Cleveland on the road, what makes you think that Ed Reed, who had, oh, by the way, had a pick and an interception against Cincinnati last week, can't come up and the secondary can't step up against you guys again this week? I completely agree with that statement.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem for them, so I definitely go with Baltimore. Seems like the easiest pick in the world because, again, you're giving a team who threw four picks last week, 2.5 points. Yeah. All right. So, Then we got Houston at Jacksonville. Houston's favored by 7.5 points. And I don't know whose pick that is. That me or you?
Okay. I'm gonna go with Houston minus the 7.5. Let me take that back. I'm gonna take Houston, but Houston will win the game. But if you're betting against the spread, take Jacksonville plus the 7.5. I think the Jaguars are a lot better than people think. And again, I think, you know, Jones Drew obviously is going to start this game. You know,
yeah.
It was all the talk how Rashad Jennings is going to start week one, and then, you know, Jones Drew is going to take his time. Jones Drew is not that much of an idiot to not know how to take the ball and run through holes if you give it to him. You know what I'm saying? And so Rashad Jennings started the game, but Jones Drew took over by the middle of the second quarter and took pretty much the bulk of the snaps from then on out. And Houston obviously thrashed Miami last week, which is expected from a team like the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I think Blaine Gabbert's really starting to grow. And, you know, Cecil Shorts, I know that's not a sexy name for everybody, had a big game against Minnesota last week. I think Johnny Black come back and have himself a big game. You know, he would have had a touchdown catch, but unfortunately he dropped it. You know, and you know, he still had an amazing preseason. So I would take Houston to win the game, but I'm taking Jacksonville plus the 7.5.
Yeah, I would agree because I don't know if Houston's just going to start running the tables, blowing everybody out that they play. I'm not sold on that, so I got to say Jacksonville's also better. And I really think Jones-Drew is really putting out auditions this year, and he's going to get his money there or somebody else. And, you know, he's going to have to put up numbers in order to do so, so it's going to come somewhere. And I think, again, they at least keep it close. So I'll go with Jacksonville, too. Let me see. Next, we got Kansas City at Buffalo. Buffalo's favored by 3.5 points. I got to go with Kansas City. As bad as, man, the picks that were thrown last week, Fitzpatrick looked pretty ridiculous. It was him, right? He was throwing really ridiculous balls, and I think the Jets completely capitalized off of that. I think
half of
the reason the Jets were looking as good as they did was because the Bills looked as bad as they did.
Right.
So I got to go to Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm taking the Chiefs as well. Buffalo, C.J. Spiller had a big game last week, but it didn't stop the Ryan Fitzpatrick offensive woes that he had last week. So you know, remember Fred Taylor? We used to call him Fragile Fred Taylor because he couldn't stay healthy. Well, now we got another Fragile Fred, and that's Fred Jackson. He's gone for at least 3 weeks with that leg injury that he just came off. You remember he missed the remainder half of the year last year because he broke his leg, and now he's done something to it again this week. So Kansas City last week in the air did not look good against Matt Ryan, but a lot of teams aren't going to look good against Matt Ryan because him and Julio Jones are going to be a pretty good combination this year for the Atlanta Falcons. But running-wise, Michael Turner, I don't think really had that much of a game last week. So if Kansas City can slow down the C.J. Spiller show and make Ryan Fitzpatrick make plays, you play right into the hands of Kansas City, and they'll be getting Tamba Ali back, who is their big pass rusher. So and then again, a team like the Jets, who in the preseason couldn't score an offensive touchdown to save their lives, dropped 41 points on the Buffalo Bills last week. I think Jamal Charles, Peyton Hillis, and Dwayne Bowe might have one of those three is going to have a monster game next week. So I'll pick the Chiefs as well.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, with those Jets, man. I just don't – it's another thing I'm not extremely sold on. It's like, all right, well, you know, be what it has, but they also started out the game, you know, with Sanchez doing the same old Sanchez, making a horrible throw, you know, for a pick. It was like, oh, here we go with this. And I was like, well, I'm just glad to see football backs, familiar faces. And then he just, I mean, found a way to just light Buffalo's defense up. And I was just like, this is crazy. Just didn't really get it. I think Buffalo dropped the ball from first quarter on, more or less, end of the first quarter on. But
Right. No, but, I agree.
So the next game, we got your guys going into Jersey to face the Giants. And the Giants are favored by 7.5 points.
Yes. So here's my take. First off, it's ironic that this weekend is going to be a Tampa Bay versus New York weekend, because the Rays are in town to play the Yankees for a big 3-game set, and you got the Bucks that are going to be in town to take on the Giants for this game on Sunday. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I was very impressed with Tampa Bay's run defense. I think that when these guys go and look at the tape, they'll realize that, you know, they're going to tighten up some of the screws defensively. Yes, Cam Newton had a big game, well, had 300 yards, but Tampa Bay picked him off. I think it was three. I know for a fact it was two. I want to say it was three. And also, one thing I also forgot to mention, the Bucs special teams blocked the punt last week as well. So all three phases of the game against Carolina, for the most part, were much improved from what we saw last year, especially with the 10-game losing streak. As far as the Giants are concerned, I think they had a bad game last week against Dallas. My main concern is the Giants' secondary is still as bad as it has been for years. I understand that they've won two Super Bowls. But the reason why the Giants won those two Super Bowls against New England is because the offensive line could not stop the defensive line, which didn't give Tom Brady enough time to really pick apart that secondary. I mean, heck, Alex Smith himself last year in the NFC Championship game actually had a pretty decent game against the Giants himself. You know, it's just a couple of miscues that happened that went the Giants' way, and they end up capitalizing on it. The Giants' secondary is not good at all. The best way to beat the Giants secondary is just to make sure that your quarterback's not getting hit. And I think that the Buccaneers, even though they don't have Davin Joseph, Ted Larson did a pretty nice job filling in for him at guard. I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all replacement, but he did do a decent job. I obviously have the Buccaneers winning this game against New York. I think Doug Martin's going to have a big game. DeMarco Murray last week dropped up 130-some yards. I think Doug Martin can have a good game as well. Remember, the Bucs like to run, especially with them bringing in Carl Nix. You kind of saw that last week that they did more run plays than pass plays. I really think Tampa Bay can come in and shock New York, because if you think about it, for the Bucs, these next three games the Buccaneers have – might be three of the most important games that they have in the season, and we won't even be out of the 5 weeks, because they play New York this week, they're at Dallas next week, and then they're home for the Redskins the week after. That's three teams that they could be battling up against for wild cards if in case Atlanta just goes nuts and the Buccaneers don't contend for the South, and they're contending for a wild card spot. If this team is that good, you can now have a leg up on New York. You'll have a leg up on Dallas. You'll have a leg up against Washington. So these are three important games. But this
automatic win.
For what it's worth, I'm gonna give them this automatic win, and I'm gonna take the Buccaneers to beat the Giants.
All right. Well, I mean, the theme of a lot of the things I picked, and you've agreed with me on most of them, that your team's not on the other end of, is a lot of these teams are due for their bounce back, because they were kind of shocked week one. I mean, you want them to shock them week two, but I think them getting beat by their rivals Dallas week one, I think, kind of loads them up for that bounce back. And so I gotta go with the Giants on that one.
All right. I understand. It that's a very good point. You don't want to get bounced, two times, And if I'm not mistaken, that game against Dallas was at home last week. It was in New York. So,
yeah, I think so. To expect Green Bay, New Orleans, or the Giants to start out 0-2 is kind of a stretch. So, and I'll even go further and say, Pittsburgh, once we get down there too. Like, I just find it hard to believe that they're going to go 0-2. So, we'll see, but I'm just going to go with the Giants on that.
All right.
Next up, we got Dallas at Seattle. Dallas favored by 3.5. And, going to go with Seattle on that one, because, again, I think Dallas played that, scrappy game against a, division rival, but those are never telling games on what those teams are actually worth. They really aren't. The Giants versus the Eagles, the Cowboys versus the Redskins, mix them up any way you want to. You're going to get just a flip-a-coin game. These guys are going to go in there and bang out the NFC East games, and then when they play the other divisions is when you're actually going to see what those teams are worth. So I'm going to go with Seattle on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well. You know, it's tough to play Seattle at home. They're a really good home team. You know, and they had a real good shot of beating Arizona last week, and I think Russell Wilson, as time goes on, is going to be a really good quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, you'll have Marshawn Lynch back, who's going to be a little bit healthier. You know, he was a questionable game time decision with the back spasms. He went ahead and played, but, you know, he's probably going to come back 100% healthy for this game against Dallas. And I'm with you. You know, yeah, Romo had a big game last week, but again, I think it was more to the fact of that the Giants secondary really just isn't that good. So to take Dallas to go in against Seattle in Seattle for that matter, I'm with you. I'm taking the Seahawks.
All right. Next up, we got Washington at St. Louis. Washington's favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
I'm gonna take the Redskins in this, but let me say this just about the St. Louis Rams. They may be 0-1, but they were probably the most impressive 0-1 team that played last week. They gave Detroit a run for their money. Matthew Stafford had a just horrible first three quarters. He came on in the last few minutes of the fourth for them to pull out that win. And as I mentioned earlier, the referees goofed one and gave them 7 extra seconds, which Detroit would have been forced to have to call a timeout before the two-minute warning, which they were able to carry in later on in the two-minute warning. But the Rams, even though they lost, cannot put their heads down that they lost because they really played Detroit well. You know, but in this game against against Washington, when you got Robert Griffin III being as hot as he is and playing as well as he is, you know, as he did last week, you know, I still don't think that the Rams defense is really that good. You know, I think they just, you know, just caught Matthew Stafford flat-footed and you know, Stafford again turned it on. But I think RG3 just has a big game this week, and I'm going with the Skins -3.5.
All right. I definitely got to go with them as well. I think RG3 is just, until he stops impressing me, I'm pretty high on the dude, and I don't think St. Louis is going to be the team to shut him down. So, yeah, I got to go with them as well. You got Tennessee at San Diego. San Diego's favored by 5.5 points, and I'm going to go with San Diego on that. They're the hardest team for me to bet on, so I really never know about them, but I'm going to go with them.
I'm going with the Chargers as well. Jake Locker got hurt towards the end of that game against New England last week. And also, how much of a piece of crap is Chris Johnson? I'm no longer going to call Chris Johnson CJ2K anymore because he can't run against more for more than 10 yards. So if we're just going to call him CJ10, then yeah, I'll go ahead and call him that. I'm never calling Chris Johnson CJ2K anymore because I just don't know what's going on with him. You know what? Maybe I won't be so hard because I think that the Patriots defense has really improved since last week. So with that being said, I'm going to we'll see how he does, but if he struggles against San Diego this week, then he really is truly a straight up piece of crap. So I'm gonna go with San Diego though.
Yeah, me too. Then up next you got the New York Jets against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers are favored by 6.5 at home. And what's your pick?
I'm with you on what you said earlier. I can't see the Steelers going 0-2. And also, let's keep our eyes out to see if Rashard Mendenhall plays. I think the Jets took advantage of a bad Buffalo defense last week that really didn't play well, nor did the offense. Pittsburgh hung in there against Denver last week, but towards the end, they and a lot of the league forgot that Peyton Manning pretty much became Peyton Manning towards the end of the game last week.
Yeah, he did.
Arguably one of the smartest quarterbacks to ever play the game. So in all realness, though, I thought that the Steelers really held their own. But if they could get Mendenhall back, I think that's a huge boost for them because Isaac Redman gave them nothing last week. So it pretty much became all Ben Roethlisberger. So, but this week, I don't think the Jets can hold the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. I think Mike Tomlin's got this team fired up. I'm gonna take the Steelers myself.
Yeah, it's kind of a reasonable pick because it's hard for me to call the Jets consistent or something to watch, and especially when the main focus so far has really still only been Sanchez, and they've used Tebow in a couple of wildcat things, but that's really not a game changer. And honestly, right. I don't see that as being a game changer, even if they used him a whole lot. I don't know. I think they have issues over there.
Right. Me too.
It's not two running backs. It's two quarterbacks. It's not that comfortable.
Yeah, and I heard that they booed the mess out of Tebow at the game too. So, you know, Tebow already hasn't even taken a snap, and they were booing him. But you know, you're going to Pittsburgh. They frankly don't care. They just want to see the Steelers. I'm actually hoping that Mendenhall plays for you know, personal and fantasy reasons. But you know, even so, if Mendenhall plays, it gives them a big boost. But with or without him, I think the Steelers do beat the Jets.
All right. Up next, you got the Detroit Lions against my guys. And, man, of course, you know. So San Francisco is favored by 6.5, and I can't do anything but go with
San Francisco.
just got to do it. So,
yeah.
Sunday Night Football.
I'm going with the Niners too. Detroit has no run game. That means that it's going to be the Matthew Stafford's going to be throwing a lot again. And we pretty much both agreed earlier that San Francisco might actually be blessed with the best defense going right now in the NFL. So with that being said, Calvin Johnson, I mentioned earlier, has this foot injury that he set out of practice with. I'm pretty sure he's going to play, but the Niners are going to shut him down. That means that the other wide receivers for Detroit's going to have to step up, and that's easier said than done against the Niners defense. So I got to go with the Niners minus the 6.5.
For sure. And the last game we got the Denver Broncos taking on the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are at home, favored by 3.5 points. What do you got there?
Believe it or not, I've kind of yet to come with an up what would be considered an upset pick, but this might actually be it. I'm actually going to take the Denver Broncos to beat the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's kind of a little bit more than just, you know, the Peyton Manning show, but they if you watched the game last week, they had a comparison of Peyton Manning's arms, you know, his how fast he throws the football. So in Indianapolis, before he was getting all these before he had the neck surgeries, Peyton Manning's throws from quarterback to wide receiver sidelines was at 49 miles an hour, which is
right.
Pretty fastball speed. In Denver, afterwards, it only dipped down to like 47 miles an hour. Yes, it's 2 miles an hour in speed, but Peyton Manning pretty much still has it. Peyton Manning also said last week after the win that he said that there's still some work that we have to do for us to get, you know, be acquainted with one another, but I'm happy with the way we play. If you're Atlanta, that's so dangerous because that means that what you saw from Peyton Manning last week means that he's only going to get better coming in this week. Now, the Atlanta Falcons offensively are absolutely dangerous. Matt Ryan's dangerous. Julio Jones is dangerous. Roddy White, when he wants to step up, dangerous. All these guys are dangerous. But the Denver defense looks so good against Pittsburgh, and you're going to put them indoors on turf with a lot of speed, which, oh, by the way, Peyton Manning just spent his first, 14, 15 years in a dome, so it's not really going to affect him any. So if you're taking Atlanta's defense against Denver's offense, I'm going to give the edge to Denver. And
yeah.
I really think that Peyton Manning could come into Atlanta. If the Denver defense can make a couple of plays against Matt Ryan, then it's locking that Denver wins this game. Because if Denver takes a lead into the fourth, that's when the smartest NFL and the quarterback, or the smartest quarterback in the NFL, and Peyton Manning flips that switch, and Atlanta is not going to be able to beat them. So I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I honestly, it's ready down on my paper. I agree with you. And the reason is because what my original thoughts was is, you know, as I said last week, I didn't think Peyton was going to be able to move enough to stay on his feet in the Denver offense. He quickly proved that wrong with that. I don't know if you've seen that sprint left throw, that, you know, over the body throw that he did. But, you know, he did like a quick sprint roll out left. And it was like, whoa, look at Peyton. I never even seen Peyton do that before. And it was like he already knew what he had to do.
Right.
Yep. And again, as you say, probably the smartest mind in the quarterback position in football, almost his own offensive coordinator. And he knows what to do there. And he put it into play game one against a team that's really no slouch in the Steelers. And I think he's automatically – a game changer. If he's able to adjust into that new team that fast, then you're looking at Peyton Manning wherever you're going. And yeah, I got to go with Denver too.
And if you remember towards the last, like, I think it was like the last 4 minutes of the game when Denver is running out the clock, Troy Polamalu tried to be slick and pull one of those Superman over the offensive line moves. And Peyton Manning said that like an absolute book. Went back underneath center, saw that Polamalu was going to try and do it again, called timeout, and they end up getting the first down on the pass to Jacob Tammy right after that. Most quarterbacks have either hiked the ball or were trying to change the play, but Manny was like, no, I don't like what I see. Let me call timeout. Let's regroup. Let's get a different play in that's going to make sense for us, and then let's execute it. And they came out there, and they absolutely and they got that first down, which really helped them out earlier. Only the smartest quarterback in the game can pull that off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's nothing that you can say bad about that guy's mind for football, because he knows what he's doing.
Right.
So, I mean, we covered all the games. Now we got this big week two coming up. I think I might do these jalapeno poppers again, because week one worked out really well with those joints that do put up on the sports den.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I saw you was giving them high praise for them. So I just made some chicken wings and some what else I do? All pigs in the blanket and stuff like that. So, but I know for a fact because, you know, I know the Bucks are on at noon, and I happen to have the NFL Sunday ticket. So I know that I'm going to be tweeting my head off, and I'm going to be Facebooking and doing a lot of things. So it's going to be another fun-filled weekend. Tomorrow is going to be a great game, obviously, between Chicago and Green Bay. It's Saturday. It's going to be a big day. Alabama takes on Arkansas. Arkansas lost to Louisiana Monroe and dropped completely out of the top 25. I'll probably talk about that a little bit on the sports den tonight, because, you know, Shep's not too big into college, but the guy that we have on is into college. So there's going to be a good chance that there's going to be some college talk. So if you're into college, you know, that's going to be a big one. So it's starting tomorrow, it's going to be a big weekend of football. I definitely cannot wait.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I want to let you, you know, get headed over to your show that's going to be happening at 10:30 Eastern time. Why don't you plug it up for us?
So it's going to be the Sports Den. It starts 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central time. Tonight we have Jim Murray from DraftKings.com Fantasy Football Show. We talked to his partner Mike Lockhart a few weeks ago. We got the other half on there, so he'll be on with us tonight. Also, my buddy Christian Simpson from the Daily Blitz, he's going to be on tonight calling or doing games with us. So it's the Ustream is ustream.tv/channel/sportsden. That's going to start at 9:30. We'll be taking calls for pretty much the entire day. The phone number is 309-329-5944. So definitely call in, give us your opinions of what you thought last week, give us some good plays for what could happen this week, and I'm definitely looking forward to a really good show.
Nice. So yeah, same invite goes weekly, man. If you want to stop by before the show next week, you're more than welcome. If not, send me your picks and I'll run them down real quick. But like I said, you're always welcome, dude. And do your thing on your show. I always enjoy listening to that on a download. So.
Oh, for sure.
All right, man. Have a good night, dude.
See you next week. Yeah, you too, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. So there you have it. It's my dude, Nick Two Scoops Russell. He does his thing over there at the Sports Den, real professional. Like, he's got, he's got the whole studio set up. He's got headphones. I only got a phone. Phone to my head. That's my headphones. But, I might as well run down this show as, I wasn't really sure whether I was going to do it or not. I might as well run down this show. And I'll take this break and then I'll run the show down real quick. And I'll call it at that, I think. All right, check it out.
Slaughterhouse. Drum. Slaughterhouse. Some niggas talk that real shit. Others exude it. Some niggas get real braggadocious with it. Others, they just go where they go. Where they go, it go. You know what I mean? They don't even acknowledge that shit if you can, nigga. I ain't got much to say about it.
These niggas acting like I reached my prime. They keep yapping, let me speak my mind. While y'all keep talking, I try to stay calm. Thinking, how can you let a few negative comments make you perspire by your armpits? Hey. When you got your idol right by your arm, shit, and you only surrounded by monsters. Getting haunted just for celebrating what I've accomplished. And get shit still, got my dick in the back of a mind. Ride around by a time too. For those who try to rush greatness, today is your bedtime. Before I spew whack hooks and deadlines, I will do fair time to give me time to rap over your deadline. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Fuck it, I've been bubbling from thugging and rapping, capturing, publishing, traveling through the underground quietly under they noses like Tubman and Chaplin. You new school shooters, you're nothing. I'm from the old school like Mullen and Paxton. You bugged out till you bug an assassin. I'm dead accurate, running to me, I'm a lead accident. Pardon my Bergdorf threads if I don't appear passionate. They hear that last shit and think that I'm here for fashion. So I take off my glasses and hat and that shirt, screaming fuck the whole goddamn earth. I'm barebacking it. I'd rather listen to the sound of spitting 13 shells than they hear clowns talking first seat sales. They don't know what they talking about. The riders decide to slaughterhouse. The liars decided to walk it out. Long as we real, we know that the fake won't employ us. We believe in fate, though the fate won't destroy us. In muddy waters, long as Satan's tongue is avoided, we don't give a fuck if pitchforks don't support us. They say that Paul and Marshall finally restored order. Why they rolling over a dollar looking for change? Now I'm here and I'm providing they four quarters. Courtesy of my boy Porter, as I'm submerged in this toy sport, I'm probably riding around with a bird and boy short, swerving in a Panamera four-door Porsche, pressing the pedal to the metal to let it breathe. I fuck her and tell her we can never be, and she should let it be. Drop her off wherever and drive home to the nagging this bitch ever. Tell her she the queen and I would never leave.
Never.
And that's my life, hate it or love it, I'm like when reality and likeness strikes at the same damn time. Cause I came from above it, meaning this game. If you discussing meaningless change, the fuck you, the discussion, the same in the budget, me and insane, completely the same, my brain just retains genius fame, even though my memory sucks, all I remember to do is get fucked, it sucked, it just bang, my enemy up, something like that, I can't remember, dang, I came from pennies to up, from Denny's to dinner with puff, like fuck Denny's, I'm famous, I'm paying my dues by paying for shoes and trucks for my cuz, that's what I do, huh, I'd rather count cash than do math, all I need to know is if you're losing, you win the negative, and winning's a plus. I'm the general of the tick-tick team, which means your 15 minutes is up. I'm sprinting, and yeah, that dust, you're tasting as mines and you in it. And I ain't gotta say who's winning. The only time I slowed down is winning, where I turned around and said, eat my dust after I finish my cup. You rap, New Jacks, who rap? You can do like Pookie from New Jack and go to the other side after you finish my dust. Get burnt up by the other side like Pookie. You'll end up another actor that died because he lied. Now he resides inside of a urn for trying to earn. Trust. I earn cause I don't trust nothing but my gun and my gut. This is how I'm cut, rich enough to cut one of you little bitty biting ass niggas in. You'll be rich from just getting a little bitty bit of my cut.
My bitch fly, bruh. I'm hovering over you while I'm fucking over you. I'm holding my thighs up. Tell your homies and friends that I'm fucking the friendly skies up. Don't think cause kids this driving while I'm not out ignorant that I ain't riding around and I'm getting it. Like 2 Chainz. In order for one of you lanes to hit me, you gotta find me and bomb me like I'm Saddam Hussein.
Never listen. Never
fucking keep doing this.
No.
Don't. We got it.
All right, I'm back. Now check it out. I'm gonna run down this CZW Down with the Sickness joint. I got it on iPay-per-view on Saturday. Well, here's how it started. Well, it was supposed to start at 8:00. Now let me run down the time shit real quick, and then I'll run down the reason, and then I'll run down my thoughts on that reason. All right. So it's supposed to start at 8:00. Here I am sitting in front of my computer. Got that shit all paid for. Sitting here. 8:10, nothing. 8:16, nothing. 8:20, nothing. Oh, 8:23. Oh, the mic testing the mics. Testing the mic, how's it sound, and then back to nothing. So then, like, another 4 minutes, 8:27, then you hear him go, discuss Vince Russo, or do whatever, test the mic, okay, yeah, 8:28 now, and now, like, and you're hearing, they're testing the mics, and all you hear is, hey, the mic check. I'm just like, well, shit, this is going to be a while because every time they test this mic, they fail in like a motherfucker. I'm like, damn. So now we're like a half hour into me waiting for this motherfucker to come on. All right. 8:31, 8:40, 8:49, 8:52. The show finally starts. Or the music finally starts, like the 18th time for them to fucking play the same intro starts. Now, mind you, if you got some kind of delay, you need to have some kind of shit queued up. Some kind of match that you had loaded up, some kind of, and maybe, oh, this is a wild fucking idea. Maybe a message that says, hey, listen, we ran into such and such, bear with us. So, some kind of courtesy other than fuck you, watch a continuous loop of a ladder and then fucking dudes staring at each other and the Down with the Sickness Chris Cash song for like the 12th to 18th time, you know, in 52 minutes. I mean, like, all right, so then that's what it is. So the reason I found out, you know, what they had said, well, CCW didn't tell you this. You would just hear from other people who were there. Or whatever, who want to try to, you know, smooth shit over with you. They go, oh, well, you know, in case you haven't heard, Evolve didn't end until like 7:30 or something. Well, okay, so what does that tell me? That tells me that another interpromotional, another we're working hand in hand with this company got CZW fucked. So another company, well, oh, surprised, ran by Gabe, completely didn't give a fuck about what needed to go on with CZW. I bet you. The Evolve show went down pretty fucking smooth, but when it came down to running over time and running into CZW's time, well, that shit don't make any fucking difference. Fuck them. You know what I mean? Fuck DJ, fuck whoever the fuck cares, because guess what? Evolve got their shit off. They didn't have to worry about, hey, you know, let's cut our intermission short because, man, we're already running too long, or, you know, anything that would benefit CZW, because that's not how any other company runs. When they worked hand in hand with CZW. Now, whether they decide to go into these working relationships to cut costs on building rental, or they do it for, I can't even imagine exposure because, I mean, shit, I only got the CZW show. There's people who only got the Evolve show. I mean, there's people who get both, and it is what it is, but I don't know what it is, but in the end, CZW gets fucked every time since Zandig was running his bitch and there was no pay-per-views. It was just this show at 1, you know, this show at 2:00, this show at 8:00, and now CZW's going on at fucking 9:30 and shit. You know what I mean? Like, this has happened for fucking years. And surprisingly enough, shock, Gabe has had a lot to do with all the shows that have done that because guess what? He doesn't give a fuck about the other companies. He gives a fuck about himself. But, of course, DJ, you know, he believes that that's Gabe gives a fuck. Okay, so now we actually start out the show. And now, man, now it's just fucking... like, unbelievable. I've never heard audio like this. This is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. It's to the point where I'm like, they might as well just mute the fucking audio altogether. Because these motherfuckers are trying to talk, and Nate Webb is on commentary. I guess what they brought him in for was commentary. Well, poor Nate Webb, because unless it comes out better on the DVD, that was wasted time. I hope it comes out better on the DVD. I guess I'll see when I get that. Then, now, here's the thing, man. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I said it well before they announced that this wasn't about just Chris Cash anymore. That this shit, you know, with no disrespect to Chris Cash, they've now been running Chris Cash tributes longer than Chris Cash ever worked for the company. They've also never really run, unless you count their involvement in Acid Fest, they've never really run a Trent Acid tribute, where Trent Acid was one of the flagships of that company for the entire time he was there. And although Cash, you know, he really embodied what CZW was all about, the intensity, the, you know, the guy that you might not have heard of that was just going to go out there and give every single bit of himself to prove to everybody that this company does mean something, not just another guy who works for 12 companies. Chris Cash was that guy. So again, it's no disrespect to him. He deserves to be honored too. But the fact that Trent Acid doesn't have his own show, the fact that JC Bailey, who, you know, pretty much, you know, broke, help, you know, take Cash under his wing to put him into that tournament of death match and bring him into that tournament of death match and have that match with him that actually, you know, helped christen him into death match wrestling. And it was like, I know that was a big moment in Cash's life. And again, Bailey doesn't have a yearly show or anything like that. You know, Bailey, the first Ultraviolent Underground champion, when they wanted to launch that whole new idea, they wanted to launch that whole new thing to keep deathmatch wrestling alive, because they weren't allowed to do so many things in the arena anymore that they had to find a way to do it undercover. Well, the thing that they started out, the flagship they started that out with, was JC Bailey winning the title for the first time and then going back and forth with Necro and all that, and then the Junkyard match and all that stuff. So again, it is what it is. But now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, and I don't know where they got the idea from, but now all of a sudden they're like, now this is going to be for everybody. This isn't just the Cash show anymore. Down with the Sickness is going to be our yearly tribute to all of our fallen wrestlers. So how do you start out the show? With a big ladder in the middle of the ring to Chris Cash's music, with a big banner strung across the ladders that just has Chris Cash's name on it. That's the same banner they've had for years. You know, don't get me wrong, they didn't make a new banner and shit like that. But again, they had to, like, plaster the ring with Chris Cash music, Chris Cash banner, the ladder that was supposed to be, like, you know, the Chris Cash thing. And then while they're telling people that this is for all three dudes. And to me, that doesn't look like it comes off like that. And the main event being, and we'll get back into that later, the main event being a ladder match to honor Chris Cash and this and that. You know, without a few other people during the show, like, hey, JC Bailey, hey, you know, hey, Trent. But there was nothing that really, you know, signified it being for those guys, too, other than you just kind of, oh, yeah, and those guys, too. You know, oh, and it's actually for everybody. But here's another Chris Cash beat. I mean, like, I don't mean to disrespect Chris Cash. That's like, the last thing I'm trying to do, but I'm trying to get the point across that if you guys are really trying to have more or less a tribute show for all of your past wrestlers, I don't think you're doing a good job of it. I think this was definitely not a good job of doing that. It was an excellent Chris Cash show, but that's what you've been going for. So, I mean, to say that, you know, this was also for Trent, this was also for JC, by what? By you mentioning that shit in the opening and, you know, a few times on commentary, if you can make out the commentary. I mean, come on, man. It's just, that's not even accurate. In a little intro video. I don't think that's accurate whatsoever. So anyway, I don't know. The opener was Rich Swann versus Shane Strickland again. Another great match. Yeah, I thought they put on a great opener. Like I said before, Strickland is a great up and coming dude. I think he's going to be, you know, a good part of the future of CZW and hopefully, you know, a lot of places and stuff, because that's kind of where it goes. It seems like there's no longer just your home base guys anymore. They, as soon as they are noticed as being really talented and, you know, fully together, they start working everywhere else too, because it's just the nature of the business these days and the nature of what CZW is these days. So, you got, Swan Strickland. Swan is working heel, and, which he's more or less worked into doing, you know, between the two matches with Strickland, which you've never seen before out of Rich Swan, because he was such a huge face, you know, in the past. So it's kind of a fresh look, you know, and he's, you know, smacking Strickland in the face when he's trying to show him respect and that type of thing. So it's a pretty cool thing, you know, the way that he's putting him over like that and allowing him to take the ring as the face type thing. So it's really cool. I said that last time. And again, Strickland won with a roll up, went for to try to get the respect thing. And again, he got disrespected. So, that's what it is. Again, got to go back to the announcers every couple minutes. Cause this was crazy. The volume was going up and down. And when the volume went up, like it was so muffled and loud and shit. It sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher snapped and shit. Like he was just screaming that mumbly shit at you. Just rum, 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 rum. It was fucking horrible. You couldn't make out the words, and it was just yelling at you and shit. It's like I said, like if Charlie Brown's teacher just lost her shit and just started yelling into the fucking Mike at Charlie and shit. You just see like those three hairs on his head fucking flying back like the wind from them RCA commercials. You know, it would be like that type of thing. So that's how shit sounded. Now I got a couple more analogies for the sound quality on this too, but we'll go into the next match was Greg Excellent, Mia Yim versus Drew Gulak and Kimberly. I'll say this about this match. I think if it was just Greg and Drew, I don't think it would have been anything special. They worked their basic stuff, and nothing wrong with it. You know, I like both of those guys, but the girls really, really turned it up and made this match. They really did. Me and Kimberly busted their ass. Kimberly being, you know, a heel again, but a different type of heel. She was also, you know, I guess a couple matches, you know, when they feuded with the Blackout and stuff, she worked the, actually ring work stuff. But it was Gulak and Kimberly, and she actually went in there looking like a wrestler, and she was working more of like the, you know, straight up like businesswoman type stuff. So it was, you know, it was a cool different angle you didn't see her in before. And again, I mean, she busted her ass in the ring. And then Mia, I'm not really positive if this was the first time, but I could be wrong, but this was the first time I remember her, because again, I'm, you know, not attending anymore. It's hard to keep track of exactly which show shit turns. I know it's been a gradual, you know, turn in that direction as they've been doing with Cole and stuff like that, but she was, you know, a face this time. So she was able to react and, you know, try to do shit that the fans were really looking to see. So somewhere during, towards the end of the, you know, the middle to end of the match, Mia hit beautiful German suplex. And Kimberly took that shit like a boss. I mean, it was just great fucking German suplex down the stretch. And then Kimberly more or less followed that shit up with another beautiful fucking move. Hit the code red on Mia Yim and shit to win the match. Like, fucking sick ass code red. I mean, the shit looked great. But like I said, the girls really pulled that match together to make it, you know, something that you'd really want to, you want to make sure you went out there and saw, because I don't know. Personally, I thought it was kind of same old stuff out of Drew and Greg. Again, nothing like, oh, yeah, they fucked that match up and the girls saved it. No, I'm not saying anything like that. Same, but the girls really stood out to make that match special. So I thought it was good. And they announced afterwards, you know, Kimberly's got long-term deal in Japan, so she got her more or less applause, send-off type thing, which, you know, was great for her. It's a shame it took them that long to turn her face to allow her to actually, you know, accept praise from the crowd, because, you know, the crowd's been liking her for a minute, but kind of forced to hate her, you know, with the heel gimmick or whatever. But much love to her, and, you know, I'm sure she's gonna kill it over there in Japan, come over here much more of a beast than she already is. So that's great stuff. And they just got to figure out, you know, what to do with Kimberly work-wise and, you know, keep her in the ring and stuff because she's definitely doing her thing. So, yeah, and then you go back to the sound quality sounded like somewhere a mix between Busta Rhymes' Touch It beat, you know, when they turn it up and fucking Get Low. That's what it is because you're like, oh, shit, and you just hear it, like, go all low, and then you're just like, and then all of a sudden he's like, turn it up, and the motherfucker just start yelling at you. A cross between that and live hurricane coverage. You know when you see the motherfucker out there on a beach and his shit is just blowing sideways and he's got the fucking windbreaker on? He's like, yeah, dude, this place fucks up out here. I don't know if the fucking surfer's going to get the fuck out of the water because it's going to be fucking worse. And, like, it sounded like that combined with the Busta Rhymes song, you know, and the collaboration to that. So that was good. So then they had, man, this was Pepper Parks comes out. And this is like the, I guess, okay, again, Chris Cash Memorial, you know, get your chance at the future match or whatever the fuck they call it. But again, you know, couldn't mention Chris Cash any more on this show than they already did. Not that they don't need to, but again, this is for everybody. So here's the Chris Cash match. Here's the Chris Cash music in the beginning. Here's the banner. Here's the match in the main event to, you know, to trademark Chris Cash's ladder thing. And the finish was Chris Cash's. So, okay. But other than that, Pepper Parks comes out. And I've never seen this dude before. And he comes out, and his manager's name is, like, Cherry Bombs, this chick. So he comes out with her, and his opponent is Kikoa, who I don't like. I've just heard nothing good about him being professional or anything like that. I've heard from several workers in clear English that this guy is super unprofessional. He thinks he's the god of the indies. He's just over the top disrespectful towards people backstage during matches. He just wants to get all this shit in. He's arrogant. And that's just what I've heard from dudes who work in the business, not for myself, because I don't work in the business. I got to clarify a lot of this stuff these days because people think I just think I know everything, but it's, you know, different things you hear from different people that helps you form opinions. So anyway, Kikoa comes out. Then he says, Cherry Bomb is a trash-looking whore, and he's going to bring out someone who is far more respectable to the business. So he brings out Tammy to prove that statement horribly wrong. Because I've never heard anything good or bad about Cherry Bomb, but, you know, Tammy's clearly a clean-cut woman, and, you know, hasn't shit on her career whatsoever. All right, so that was that. Pepper Parks wins. Don't come back chance after the match. You know, yeah, that's what happened there. Then you have Ron Mathis and Rory Mondo versus the Nation of Intoxication, and Nation of Intoxication wins. Nothing really that special that I have to, you know, say about that. But that was that. Then you had Ruckus versus Alex Colon. Way too late to pop that off. That was completely blown storyline work with the blackout and the Four Loko, and now they just, and this is bullshit. So Devin Moore interferes. Ruckus actually does, I think, maybe the only trend spot other than, I mean, Devin does a Yakuza all the time. But, and, you know, Generico does a Yakuza, but it's no tribute to anybody. It's just part of his arsenal. Ruckus did the Trent spot, you know, the Trent, you know, high spot thing in the corner. He did that, and Devin interfered, and Ruckus won. So, you know, helped, I guess, continue something between Nation of Intoxication and the Four Loko, whatever. And then, yeah, Tremont come out to cut a promo, and that's what he's doing. then, you know, he cuts a good promo, but then, like, every month you're going to have him cut a promo on a guy that no one gives a fuck about. Like, he's going to come out super fired up to talk about DJ month in and month out. No one gives a fuck about DJ Hyde as a worker. I meant to actually pull the clip where DJ says that he doesn't like anything about himself that he said himself on one of these fucking shoot documentary things. But I'll make sure I have it next week because it's such a classic audio clip to have because it's fucking ridiculous. But yeah, well, like I said, he cuts out a good promo and whatever, and then, you know, DJ hyped up to that again. So now some guy, Solo, comes out. I guess DJ or somebody sends out Solo to wrestle Tremont. Tremont just hits him with a chair shot and pins him. So that's what we're doing there. So that was that. Then you had Sammy and Jake of the Ohio is for Killers up against Super Smash Brothers. Good match. I mean, they definitely They definitely busted their ass, all four of them. You know, they put on a real good, innovative match, hard-hitting stuff. A lot of good mix of styles and everything like that. I enjoyed the match quite a bit. You know, they're trying to really pitch the Nevaeh created this whole stable and all that, even though, I mean, you kind of had Sammy fighting Jake in the past, and it would have been easier to just spin that into something that worked. And, I mean, they're all from Ohio, but, I mean, you know, whatever. So they're doing that. You had Generico and Masada. Yeah, great match. I thought this was, you know, perfect match of styles, mix of styles, I should say. We had back and forth action. You know, you would expect, you know, Masada's going to win because I don't think Generico is going to work, you know, a handful of shows for CZW. Yeah, so he won. You know, Generico went for the Yakuza, and Masada sidestepped it into, you know, a leg capture suplex type joint for the finish. So that was a dope match. The main event was crazy. I mean, the main event was insane. Really too many spots to mention and shit. Thing I'm going to say about this, and I'm really going to be kind of vague on a lot of this because I'm not getting back into this whole fucking topic again. I've had enough of it. Fact is this was, in my opinion, probably A.R. Fox's best match of his career. Not that he hasn't done anything, you know, good in the past, but fact is this was a crazy fucking match. Like, him and Dave killed it. So many spots all over the place. It was bananas. It was probably one of the best ladder matches of CZW's history, as well as probably A.R. Fox's best match. And I've seen some pretty good Dave Chris matches, but I probably have to go out there and say the same thing for him. This was a standout performance, great main event, crazy stuff, the type of stuff you buy DVDs for. The finish came from, it was somewhat of, I mean, they pulled it off, but it was somewhat of a, it was supposed to be a cash flow, but they coming off the ladder through two stacked tables, and Dave's legs hit the rafters, and then like kind of like caught onto the belts and shit like that for the finish. So kind of came off a little wrong, but they still made it work, broke the tables, the whole thing like that. But again, you finish with the cash flow, main event for cash, banner in the beginning for cash, Chris Cash Invitational, Chris Cash music, lead into the whole thing with the Chris Cash music. You know, that's just my only point as far as the cash thing goes. Now, the other thing I'm going to say is I went out there afterwards. I was all fucked up. But either way is, I've said my opinion on the AR Fox situation many a time. Fact of the matter is what I've said is the truth. Isn't some shit I made up about the dude. I never made a thing up about the dude. I spoke my opinion on exactly what he did, and I don't agree with what he did. Now, to a certain extent, yeah, that's his business, but he also brought the wrestling business into it, and as a fan of that, I have an opinion on that. So, now, and that is what it is. There's a lot of people out there on whatever, you know, message board, whatever the fuck. They're talking a lot of shit on me now, but fact of the matter is they all said the same shit that I said to each other. But as soon as I say that shit out in the open, now people think I'm fucked up. Now, the one thing I'll say for sure that I shouldn't have done, and I do apologize for, is that I pretty much picked a time where AR Fox was doing something extremely positive. He had, you know, questionably the best match of his career, and I took that opportunity to pile on with negativity, and I shouldn't have done that. And I shouldn't go out there. I do have my opinion, and my opinion is what it is. But I don't need to continue to now find every opportunity I can to throw it back in people's face. So that's where I was completely wrong, and I apologize for doing so. If someone asked me my opinion on the topic, I'll probably give the same opinion. But I don't need to go, oh, shit, he had a great match. Yo, let me fucking remind people what he – that's really not what I should be doing. So that's where I was wrong, in my opinion. What else was I going to say about that? Yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously people will get, you know, mad about it and stuff like that. You know, public forum, shouldn't have said it, da-da-da. But, again, I think there's a good chance that a lot of these people said it shit to themselves that just they just didn't want to say it in the open, but that I did, and I'm fucked up for it. And the thing is this in no other – it's something that he did. His dream situation would be for this to just be brushed under the rug, which myself I think is ridiculous. I mean, I've had wrestlers come up to me, you know, people in the business come up to me outside of any show atmosphere or anything like that, say, what's up, and immediately follow it. Can you believe what the fuck happened with da-da-da-da? And it's the same topic. So it's not like nobody's talking about it. It's not like I put that shit out there. It's not like anything like that. People know about it, and it's just kind of getting brushed under the rug. And maybe to a certain extent, that annoyed me that that was happening, because you would expect that to be a big deal in any other time, any other place, any other business. You go, man, that's what the fuck? But again, be it as it is, if everybody out there is just going to let bygones be bygones, they're going to let that completely go away, well, it's not going to be me that's going to continue to bring it up to everybody. It's not going to be me that keeps putting that in front of everybody's face when they're trying to move on from it. So everybody can move on. Like I said, I apologize for taking the position to shed negative light on something that was very positive about what AR Fox was doing. Like I said, he's an incredible athlete. He busted his ass out there, probably had the best match of his career. I mean, honestly, you see that guy on the card, you see him against Ricochet on a Evolve or a Dragon Gate card, or Pac or one of them, you're like, yo, this, they're going to fucking tear it up. I mean, they, you know, one-on-one against Rich Swann, they're going to tear it up. I mean, AR Fox and Sammy, best of the best finals, killed it. AR Fox, ACH, before I even seen ACH, they had him on, I forget what it was, some old Texas area type stuff. Crazy shit. His matches with UHA Nation, again, crazy shit. So, it's not to take anything away from his talent, and I was just maybe not as far out of line with what I was saying, but the place I was putting it. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to chime in and keep harping on it and bring it up every chance I get. It's also become a reoccurring thing, and this is from this the minute it happened, and I was actually supposed to have him on my show for a regular, respectful interview, and it's become a reoccurring thing on the Wrestling Soup. And the reason why, you know, people criticize, oh, you know, all the sound drops, so you know, all the, you know, the key lines and all that shit. Why? Because if you tuned in over there, they use those as sound drops. They make fun of that shit on a weekly or biweekly basis, and that's their business too. But again, they use it as a joke on a more regular basis than that, and not to, you know, throw them under the bus like that, because they joke about everything. And I listen to the show, and they're, you know, they're friends of mine and all that. So the reason why I got those things and it's become like a comfortable theme to joke on those same points is because, shit, I'm listening to them weekly, hearing them joke about the points. And, it's, you know, even amongst that group, it's just like, oh, fucking Candy this or that. It's just, it comes up because it happened, not because people are just throwing dirt on his name. But again, it was the wrong place, the wrong time for me to bring it up. Obviously, I'm blocked from dude's account. I would never debate that. I don't want back on his shit. That's fine. Again, I'll give props to him every single time he goes out there and busts his ass, which is every time, really. I mean, he puts on great fucking matches. So I'm not going to try to take that away from him. I'm not going to try to shed negative light on the things that he does. But again, you know, my opinion was my opinion. Wrongly placed, wrong time, but it is what it is. So that's overall what it is. I would personally recommend you check this show out. It was probably one of the best top-to-bottom CZW shows I've seen in a while. You know, you really got a lot of different, you know, mixes of styles and different things that you could look forward to if you like this kind of wrestling or you like that type of wrestling. It was really a good overall show. Like I said, starting out 52 minutes late because the other company kind of fucked you into starting late. 52 minutes is fucked up to sit there, stare at your computer that you already paid for some shit going, I don't even know. No idea. They're not telling me a goddamn thing. I guess I'm just going to sit here and wait until I fucking, it happens. 52 minutes. Jesus Christ. You know, that's fucking rough. Obviously, the audio was fucked. You know, and just a couple of things. I mean, there's obvious consistent problems, consistency problems. And, you know, with DJ's booking, it is kind of fucking ridiculous. But it's going to be what it's going to be. I mean, if you're looking at overall, great show. You can nitpick on the negatives, but my thing is a lot of those negatives become the main focus of the other shows because they don't always have this type of, you know, top to bottom show. So I guess we'll see. We're going to lead towards Cage of Death now. I'm still very, very skeptical of Cage of Death being as big of a spectacle as it's always been put on in New Jersey. I just hate the idea of shows being run in New Jersey, and I live in Jersey, but, you know, going from watching CCW in 01, to it going to Philly, to all the different sanctions coming down and this and that, you know, to Delaware was the place, you know, just as far as getting away with things. And then even, you know, Philly, Cage of Death, they still were able to pull off top-notch stuff, panes of glass, this. I just, yeah, they pulled off some barbed wire here over there in Jersey, but a Cage of Death, I mean, we'll have to see. You know, I'm up for it. I just hope the fuck DJ doesn't put himself in the main event against Tremont. Because honestly, I don't think that you can find someone out there that isn't getting paid by DJ that'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to DJ in a blank anything. Anything at all. So, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. They're doing a show September 22nd at DJ's house with the, you know, all super ultra violent fucking DJ versus Tremont, strip the canvas, strip the fucking ropes, fucking glass, this, that, da 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 da. So, again, kind of hard act to follow if you're putting that on September 22nd and then December, whatever it is, you're going to have to go out there and put on, you know, the ultra violent fucking Cage of Death. And no matter who's in it, you're already kind of setting your bar pretty high by doing a shit late September just to put over the DJ Tremont feud. But hopefully you cap that off there and you build to something and you figure something out that can make Cage of Death actually stand out. Because when you got Tournament of Death and you got Cage of Death, I mean, you got now this other show in Delaware. It's just a lot of hard act to follow type stuff. And then going back to Jersey, you're so limited. So, you know, let's hope. We'll see what's up. Really don't have much to talk about other than that. Raw, I don't know. I mean, Bret Hart started the show. Fucking ass-kissing. Punk comes out. Actually gets a heel reaction because they're in Canada. You got Claudio and Miz. Vince, Kofi and Truth. And Kofi and Truth win. Decent match. Then, what else do they do? Orton and Punk. And then that turns into the tag match, and that's Orton and Lawler versus Punk and Ziggler. And honestly, there is a part in that match too that you could see, like, Ziggler has Lawler on his knees and he's just kind of wavy. And I mean, that could just be selling or whatever, but in the same token, I was just like, man, he looks like he's gassed or like he's just really winded or like he just kind of looked out of it right there. You know, and Ziggler pushed him down and all that. But again, man, you put a guy 63 in the ring, don't expect fucking this shit to work out forever. I'm surprised it honestly hasn't happened to Ric Flair first, because Flair's just a little bit older, and he, you know, he's still doing his fucking corner flip spot. He's still cutting promos before and after matches where he turns like fucking purple. You know, he's elbow dropping his jacket. He's fucking flipping out. And, you know, I mean, you're risking that type of shit when you're at that age. You're just not supposed to be doing that anymore. And, you know, again, I wish the dude the best, but I can't imagine that no one expected that to happen eventually. It's just, you had him in there trying to keep up in the ring with Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk. I know you could slow down the match, you could work things around it scientifically and stuff like that, but still. So just the athleticism of those guys against those, I mean, you're asking for trouble, I think. And then, that ended with more or less, you know, Punk started talking to Paul Heyman, just like bullshitting about like what else going on with the day, and they more or less walked away, allowing Ziggler to lose. That was that. Ryback beat Ryan Slater. Fucking funny moment in the back where they had the primetime players back there talking, and AJ just no sold the shit out of them, being like anybody fucking anyone cares about, and pretty much just gave their put their title shot up against Kane and Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan. And then they went out there and, Kane and Daniel Bryan won with Kane chokeslamming Daniel Bryan on top of one of them dudes. And, now they have the title shots at the pay-per-view. It's going to be Kane and Daniel Bryan against Kofi and Truth. I think Kane and Daniel Bryan will take them titles straight up. So, yeah, I kind of, after that, tuned out, because he started to realize, the severity of the Lawler thing, and it really became, really distracting. So I really didn't pay much attention to everything else that was going on. It was like, oh, okay, let's see if you got any updates, what's good with this. And so, that's all I really have to say about Raw. But it is what it is. Give my shout-outs. Obviously, the Sports Den, you can go check them out right now. Nick Russell gave the plugs for that earlier. You also have Women Love Wrestling 2 that's on right now, I think. That's on Wednesdays the same time as I'm. And they're actually on Blog Talk Radio now. So I think it's like Blog Talk Radio / WLW2. I think is their thing. Mel and Corey do their thing over there. They actually attended Raw last week in Montreal, because they're from over there. Then you got Stern Nation, who is now actually doing live shows on Ustream. So check them out on Facebook for all the updates on when they're going to run their next show. They actually did it last night, but I'm not sure if that's going to be their regular night or what's going to go on. They did it last night, 10 p.m. Also, Tuesdays, 10 p.m., you got Two Moms, One Show. My girl Nina and Anthony Missionary Thomas's girl, Natalie, a.k.a. Tink. They do that on Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. You've got, obviously, Wrestling Soup. Check them out Thursday nights, 10:15 Eastern. That's WrestlingSoup.com. And I think that's all I got. I'll check out Yolanda on Thursdays. You want to check her out. That's the Shiznet. We'll also check out her gimmick tees, who did my shirts. Check me out if you want one. And the Indie Grind, she also runs that over there. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Check me out next week. Same time, all that shit. It's what it is. Peace.
don't act like you fit it the same. Why you motherfuckers can't get in the game? I come from high school and go straight to the league. Who you know who can spit it with speed?
Yeah, nigga,
the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. You motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak, they'll set you free. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. You motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak, they'll set you free. Ain't nothing changed with me. I'm still stuck in the kitchen. So what I'm signed? That's fine. Still stuck in position. You motherfuckers know me. Couple court cases from jail, couple 4-4 shells from hell, stuck on this mission. Go home, my girl fussing and bitching. Motherfucker, won't you change your life? I'm thinking, motherfucker, won't I change my wife? Ignorant bastard, happen, like fuck the rap shit. It's just another hustle, another way for niggas to touch you. Now they know the face that beams, now they see my face on screens. And I ain't even chased this dream. I feel sorry for those who did. Y'all niggas can't stop the war. Whether rock or raw, I'm slinging coke in a rock below. You niggas know what block I'm on. Block and palm. You wanna get shot, karate chop, your stab is on. Nigga, motherfucker. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak, they'll set you free. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth when I speak, they'll set you free. Black Friday management and rock the label. And I still hit you niggas with shots that's fatal. That bullshit best can't stay you. I had a doc open you up from chest to navel. See my face on cable and have flashbacks of that cold ass table and them hoes I gave you. I'm that nigga that'll come and pour salt in your wound. At the hospital, by the cop guard in your room. You got to see what I've seen. Look where I look. Touch what I reach, to take what I took. You got to go where I'm gone, walk where I walk, to get where I'm at, to speak what I talk. You got to lay where I laid, stay where I stayed, play where I played, to make what I made. You got to move what I move, use what I use, use tools how I use fools how I use. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I
but you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.